May 28, 2021, it's the Watch for Pedro Show.
Thank you. I believe the things that rhyme are true. And I believe that I'm in love with you.
Watch for Pedro Show, happy Friday, last Friday of May. There's a Blue Oyster Cult song, The Last Days of May. Maybe I'll play it tomorrow, but not today. Yeah, we started off with Nakatini Serenade, John Coltrane, then Alex Spiegelman. Things that rhyme. Yeah, people. Brother Matt at the Love Grotto on La Pledge Point, still quarantine mode. But people are getting vaccinated. That's great. My second shot's 10 June.
Congratulations.
Whoa, you can hear, people. I am not man alone because of the genius software engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention. I got Brother Alex Spiegelman with me. Welcome aboard, Alex.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
Knoxville, right?
Actually, Brooklyn, New York. I know Mike Baghetto.
Right, okay. The Connect. Elsewhere. Yeah, let's explain to listeners. The Connect is Mike Baghetto in Knoxville, who's going to, this summer, move to Gainesville in Florida. Right. So
further south.
Right. He's West Mass guy original.
Yeah. Right. I met him when we were teaching at a music camp in Maine.
Maine? Ah, wow. One time I was in Maine playing Portland. It was 100. It was a summer gig. It was 100 degrees. It was a record.
Wow. Yeah, it never gets that hot up there.
No. But look, enough about me, about you. Let's visit your musical journey, and please bring your earliest musical recollection.
I think I was like 3 or 4 years old. My dad used to play me all these old jazz records, like a lot of Nat King Cole, and there was a radio show that he liked to listen to, and the DJ couldn't find and wanted to play the song Frim Fram Sauce, and he couldn't find it. And my dad really excitedly brought the record and me to the radio station and was like knocking on the window and stuff and showing off his son that we had the records. I remember doing that outside of Philadelphia.
So your pop
it was a big adventure.
Yeah, your pop called bullshit on that man.
He wanted to provide
no,
the record
no, that
so
was
that
great.
He could play.
That was great. That's what music's for, right? Is about bringing people together.
Yeah.
In trippy ways. And you remember that, and it made a fucking impact on you. Now, in Philly there, John Coltrane bought his first house on 33rd Street by the zoo.
Wow. Right.
I used to take my bands. I still will when the touring comes back. But let me ask you, was there, your pop was definitely a listener to have a fucking record like that, probably bitching collection, but was there musical instruments in the pad?
Well, shortly after that, we moved to Harrisburg, and there was a piano we had that used to be my grandmother's, and there was my mom. My mom had an acoustic guitar. No one really played either of them, but we had both of them. My mom played a tiny bit, not very much.
Yeah, but did you ever jump on that shit?
I did. I messed around on the piano. My parents never had me like take lessons, but I always I made noise on it.
Yeah.
And I still have. I kind of took the guitar. I play the guitar to this day.
Yeah, I know.
On that tune you just played, I playing that guitar.
Oh wow. Okay, so that's from the get go. That's how you. Yeah. Okay. That's bitching the continuity that you have that all the way back. What about school?
Yeah.
Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
I started playing clarinet in the fourth grade band.
That
and then that was sick. What I was really serious about. I couldn't even really play guitar until I was in my 20s, even though I you know, occasionally would mess around on it. But I didn't know how to do anything on it. But I started playing clarinet in the school band, concert band.
Okay, Licorice Stick. And so you learned to read music and shit.
All that stuff.
And, man, those were popular. I think they could cut through.
It was like the electric guitar.
Well, Artie Shaw
century.
All that, the Thunder and
Benny
Herd.
Goodman and those
guys.
Yeah,
Benny Goodman. A lot of a lot of leaders of bands were working that thing, and it totally fell out.
Yeah, yeah, it didn't. It got taken over by the saxophone and the guitar and everything else,
right.
I guess. But it's
guitar.
It's so much the lead instrument of so much great music in history, and now I guess still.
Yeah, right. When John Coltrane got into that soprano sax, was Sidney Bechet, I think.
Sidney Bechet, maybe Steve Lacy a little bit.
Yeah, right.
Some people, but he made it popular, or sort
well,
of popular.
Well, brought it back, right? Because it's from the John Philip Sousa days.
right.
Anyway, so no guitar, like after school, I'm not talking after graduation, but in the afternoon, no garage bands, basement band, bedroom band?
I did that stuff. I had friends who were... not in the concert band and stuff, but they played guitars and drums. And I remember we had a basement band, and we played some coffee house shows too. It was called Roof Garden, and we played like Allman Brothers tunes and
you were on
Dead
guitar.
Tunes.
You weren't
well,
on
they
the
would let me, no, they'd let me play a saxophone. I was already playing saxophone at that point because I wanted to play jazz.
Let me ask you, jazz band.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me ask you this, Al. The fingering.
Yeah.
Because Brother Steve, I did 125 months with Stooges, so.
Wow.
And he
yeah.
told me there was something about the fingering, about maybe a sax man could go to clarinet, but a clarinet man to go to sax was. There's something about the holes with the fingering?
Yeah, the clarinet's got a couple of things that make it trickier. Like the saxophone's just kind of a more high tech instrument. Like the saxophone we know was basically developed in, like, 18,
oh, yeah.
late 18 something,
you know
but
what?
Clarinet
there's
had
a music,
lot of
there's
inertia.
A music museum in Brussels. And
oh,
they
yeah.
got some of the first, Adolf Sax, his first oh. sax, and his brother did clarinet. So you're right, there is a connect.
I got to play some of those Adolf Sax saxophones at a real nice saxophone store in St. Louis. They had a tenor and an alto and a soprano and a bari that he made. And you can kind of play them still. They're not that different than what you find today.
So again, the difference between the clarinet and the sax with the fingering?
Yeah, the fingerings. The clarinet overblows at the 12th. So when you go from the lower register to the upper register, you're not playing an octave above. You're playing an octave and a fifth above, and that messes with your head. And you're right. It's got holes you got to cover carefully with your fingers, whereas the saxophone has just kind of buttons.
All buttons, yeah.
Work for you.
Okay.
So in both of those ways, the clarinet, there's kind of less room for error.
Because the clarinet is kind of a cousin of the flute.
They're all related, I think. I mean, or I think of them as, I play all of them. They're all pretty close. In the clarinet and the saxophone have the same kind of mouthpiece and reed. The saxophone and the flute are a little closer together what you do with your fingers. And the clarinet's kind of weird, especially because when you press the button that goes up, it doesn't go up an octave. It goes up an octave and a fifth, and that's immediately confusing.
Trippy.
Thanks
for clearing that up. I've wondered about it a long time. People, bass guitar, six-string guitar, it's just...
Well, that's tricky, too.
It's missing two strings. But actually, it's just to hold down their approach, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. So they let you play sax in the garage band or whatever.
They did. They let me, maybe because Dave Matthews was popular or something at the time, but they let me play sax in like the rock band and kind of jam along and stuff. It was great. I had a wonderful time.
These guys have a name?
That was called Roof Garden.
Roof Garden. All right.
Roof, like a garden on your roof.
Yeah. New York City, right?
I didn't get the reference then, but I think it was a drug reference.
Oh.
But I was too good of a kid to really understand what it was about, but I think that's what it was.
Okay. Look, I want to play You Would Feel True.
Thank you. Great.
Thank you.
that you and I are gonna be fine. You would feel true, like nothing has in a long time. Thank you.
I can change, but two-part disharmony between your head and heart. Something's lost that should have been there from the start. Will it take a tragedy to help you see the light? Everyone leaves you uptight. It's a showdown every day and every night. Shake your hand so vigorously it brings you pain. That hole is in your heart, the knife that's in your brain. Will it take a tragedy to help you see the light? Everyone leaves you uptight.
Like I said last night, 7 o'clock, he was around the beach here so far. At 12 o'clock last night, he was ready to go and bring best kind. At quarter to one, I come back quarter to one last night, he was up on the beach. But the side cut out of him, the gut and everything cut out of him. But I don't know, he's roughly about 8 to 6 feet long.
Yeah. What do you think done it?
What done it?
Yeah.
Well, you know what done it, I suppose a couple of fellas done it. What in the freezer for a steak? Yeah, I was talking to the RCMP this morning. Nobody ever told of it. I talked to the DFO there last night. And all the miners, if anybody throw rocks at it, they'd press charges on it. But where's he at all last night when all this was going on?
Yes, I will. I'll come clean.
Watch for Pedro Show. That chunky music star, Alex Spiegelman. You would feel true. Then Scotty Irvin, brand new. Divide Church. SLW. CC Watt. Down Came Larry, Sweet Larry. This is a project I got with Sam Locke Ward in Iowa City. Traded Files. Made it out. Yet to meet him. Great cat, though. Obama's Prendon after that. The old man muttered to himself. Scary. The Mirrored Ones. Butterfield. That's got Bob Bucko. Who's with Sam Locke Ward. Buddy. But in Dubuque. Not Iowa City. He's a little north of there. Albert DeMuth. The Big Fallout. Said I got mail. And I think his brother's in this band, Tote Audit. Vienna Trigger Finger is the tune. Psychic Hotline, yeah. Pulse, their new album. I've been playing a lot of that. Dig it. Petrified Max, brand new from Vetus. Vetus from The Last. He used to play organ in The Last. And he's a guitar man at Trotsky Ice Pack. Showdown. Petrified Max, his own proj. And Brains on Check for Manuel Armida. Hell yeah. I should say Brains on Check. Hell yeah. Manuel Armida. And then finally, Alex Spiegelman sucks. Which is needs no explanation. Yeah. Alec, continue with your story about music. So you're playing in the band at school, but you also get they let you in the jam band.
And, yeah.
Where do you take music next? What do you do after school?
I was in another band that started playing a lot in high school that was like a retro swing band. Like, you know, we wore suits and everything.
Oh, I remember that phase.
Yeah,
it happened a few times. I played a Warped Tour gig with these God, I can't remember the name. But one of the guys, I saw him again like a year after. He was doing that, what, right? But he was dressed up New York Dolls and shit. And I said,
right.
What's up?
Oh, is it the guy who was in New York Dolls?
No, he wasn't. He was in, like, one of these bands that you're talking about. He said, Mike, yeah. When they make the Gap band, it's over.
Yeah.
Remember? It happened with Ska, too. I mean, all the guys in the horn bands at high school could be rock and rollers. But then, yeah, it died.
Yeah, it goes in phase, but it was great for horn players in high school. It was a way to be cooler than I would have otherwise been.
Absolute.
Yeah.
Although you're right, wearing the suits and shit for touring, it's a lot more shit to move around.
These days I don't like to dress up at all. Maybe it's because of that experience. like band leaders complain, I'm not dressed well enough.
With either of these bands, the jam band or the swing band, did you record with them?
Yeah, we made the jam band didn't. We didn't really play much, but the swing band was called Brown Derby Junction, and one of the band members had a 4-track, and we made a tape, and then we went into a studio and we made a CD, and it was so in high school I got to do that a little bit. I didn't really learn how to record myself until much later, but.
But that's your first experience. That's happening, though, high school.
Yeah.
So what happens after high school, Al?
I went to college. I thought I was going to be a scientist, and I did that for a while. But I always played, and I was playing a lot of jazz. There were guys in Harrisburg that like older jazz musicians who let me sit in and stuff like that, and I was. You know, I listened to a lot of John Coltrane.
Whoa!
Trying to play that music.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Henry Kaiser had me be part of this thing where we did meditations and Love Supreme. I told him no, man. I was too scared.
It's imposing music, but is a good thing to meditate on.
But you know, in a way, I think John Coltrane though is kind of inviting. He's saying, "Look, this is my music." Yeah. But he's in a way, another way, it's like, I'm a launch pad. I'm a springboard.
Yeah.
Go.
It's delightful to, I listen to your show a lot just for the first chunk of the Coltrane. It's just a refreshing thing to sort of ground my day. It's really
wonderful. I read, not even read, I've got some, and maybe you do too, some audio interviews of the man talking.
Wow. I don't think I've heard many.
In fact, the last one with Frank Kosky in a station wagon in a parking lot of a supermarket.
Really?
He's talking about musicians.
Yeah.
Being after some kind of truth.
Yeah, it's like, well, it's not a bad religion, you know.
That's why I play it at the beginning of all my shows.
Yeah.
I just like that idea.
That's a great idea. It's a great idea. It's nice when you recognize something is beautiful and it's just sounds and other people recognize it too. That seems substantial to me, that we would all kind of appreciate something as being beautiful and agree on it.
Like a truth scientist.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah, he says, a musician can tell when something's phony.
Yeah.
I remember reading Holden Caulfield. Yeah, Catcher in the Rye, right? It's all about the phonies, right? And then he fucking gets all pissed off when he sees his cuss words written on the... That's such a trippy story. But getting to play with them older cats.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, they're probably older cats with the jam band, too.
Oh, those were kids my age. There were some college kids I was in another rock band with in high school. They were like, you know, I don't even know if they were in college, but there were some kids who were probably like 5-10 years older than me that I played with in a rock band. That stuff sounded a lot like Dave Matthews Band. It was original, but that was the inspiration. Those are all my opportunities to play, playing in bars and stuff.
Where was Dave Matthews? He's a...
He's Charlotte, from Charlottesville.
Yeah.
But thanks to him, I got to play bars when I was in high school. Well, him and his sax player who passed, I can't think of the guy's name.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I think he has a violin man, too. But there was like Huey Newton and the Lewis. No, Huey Lewis.
But there was great music with saxophone.
Right, Bruce, the New Jersey guy, Bruce Springsteen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rock and roll.
Go ahead.
Well, no, you're the guest.
Oh, excuse me. I got later when I was in college in my 20s, I got to play a lot of like funk and soul and R&B. I was living in Boston where I went to school, and I would I'd play like blues gigs and R&B gigs. I was in wedding bands, and club bands like that. Play all the Stevie Wonder tunes, all the James Brown tunes, all that stuff. I played with this guy named Little Joe Cook, who was a doo-wop minor celebrity from Philadelphia who'd moved up to Cambridge, Mass. And he played like for 30 years, like six nights a week at a club called the Cantab that just closed in COVID, I think. So I got to play with him a little bit and those kind of gigs, like honking tenor saxophone gigs.
Did you ever walk the bar?
Go ahead. What was that?
Did you ever walk the bar, Alec?
Oh, no. Well, I had to get up on chairs and tables at weddings, but I never had to walk the bar. I never walked the bar.
I read about John Coltrane walking the fucking – if you can believe John
Coltrane.
He did
it. Yeah, and he played with like a king of that music.
Earl Bostic.
You know? Yeah,
also Cleanhead Vincent, right?
Eddie Cleanhead Vincent.
That's the cat who got him to switch from alto to tenor.
Wow. Yeah. I bet he did that. I bet he did it great. I don't know. No recordings exist, I'm sure. A lot of my favorite jazz saxophonists, I think, had a little of that. Like, I think Ornette Coleman, I've read that he played blues gigs in Texas.
I wonder what he sounded like
playing blues.
Fort Worth. Caravan of Dreams. Yeah. Look, Alec, we're at the end of the first hour. May 28, 2021, edition Watt Peter Show special guest, Alex Spiegelberg. No, Alex Spiegelberg.
I'll roll with whatever pronunciation.
Hold time for hour two. May 28, 2021. It's the second hour of the Watch for Pedro show.
Thank you. I know why you're really here.
Phone into airplane mode.
Watch for Pedro show start off the second hour, Alex Spiegelman, The Real News. And then Matt Nelson, Knoxville Cat Baseman, live, WTFISTS. Little acronym rock. Lucas Abella.
I want to know what it stands
for. Yeah, that's a mystery. He's been on the show. He's a great cat. Another Mike Baghetta connect.
Good connects.
Yeah, absolute. Another cat that I was connected to that's really got some bitching people on the show. Evan Lipson, bass man.
Ooh.
He's connected me with so many cats. Yeah, beautiful. But, you know, that's what music's about. Links in the chain, right? Okay, Lucas Abella from Sydney, Australia, with X's for cirrhosis. But cirrhosis spelled with an X. Sean Lennon, The Killer, Airplane Mode from Alex Spiegelman. We know about Airplane Mode. Anybody who does the tour rock on the airplane, that's coming back. Fucking flying around in little metal tubes, sucking in farts.
Oh, man. I don't know if I look forward to that.
I know. Especially if you got the baloney seat, right? So, you said science. So, when you were in college, you weren't studying music.
I did study music as well, but I got a physics degree. I thought I was going to teach at a school or something like that. Or I guess for a while, I thought I'd be an engineer. As soon as I got to college, I knew I wasn't good enough to, like, be a scientist. But I thought I'd do something like that.
Okay. But music was... obviously was on the part-time or on your downtime, but you
too, actually... Too much of the time, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. You were actually putting in part of this learning, too. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way life is. You know, it ain't so... It's a journey, right?
Yeah.
And that's this is where how you got to here now anyway. So, what about your own... You're talking about all the side mouse, and nothing wrong with that. In fact, life's about taking turns, and I think you have to...
Yeah.
If you want to learn the whole, or try to learn the whole dealio, you got to be side mouse. I'm not against that at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what about your own music, Alex?
I went to music school, eventually two, and I met a bunch of guys and girls there, and we formed this band called Cuddle Magic. And that kind of got me in the direction of wanting to... of writing and singing songs and no longer trying to be a jazz musician or whatever that was in the 21st century, whatever that was going to be. So I got, that kind of inspired, like hanging out with those people inspired me to start doing that and writing words to it setting my deepest emotional struggles to music. Or what have you.
Yeah, because in high school, starting in those early teen days, you were doing music, but you weren't really composing, right?
Not that much. You know, you don't really get to be the front of the rock band if you're playing saxophone. that's not how it works.
Yeah, you're also not the man behind the curtain, right?
No, neither that.
Okay, but... You become the script writer, like a composer's kind of a script writer, right?
Yeah, I started to enjoy that aspect of it and to sort of prove to myself that I could do it well enough to at least make myself happy and then and got into putting words to music and all that stuff.
With these cats that you met at the music school, you made a band called...
That band's called Cuddle Magic.
Yeah. I didn't exactly know the chronology of your stuff, so I got Cuddle Magic coming up in the third hour.
Oh, that sounds exciting. Reverse chronology, that sounds perfect. I love it. Yeah.
You know how I put them in order?
I want to know. I'm excited to know how the sausage is made, finally. What's the secret?
How long they last.
Oh, so it's good I gave you some short ones.
Yeah, like that first baby?
Yeah.
That's the shortest one. And then the last baby, Seven Sister from Baby States?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a long one.
That's going to be the long one.
Right. That was some...
So it's not totally, you know, random. It's, yeah.
Giving away the secrets.
I kind of gave away the secret sauce formula right there. Yeah, I want to play Make It Last. Diesel Cleaning.
Not everybody's gonna make it last. It's a reality I'm getting past. We better get it while I get in fast.
Bye. pleasure. Comme celle-ci. La masque d'automne. Un automne où vous écoute. Une saison qui n'existe que dans le nord de l'Amérique. Là-bas, on l'appelle l'été indien. Je me souviens. Je me souviens très bien de ce que je sais qui se voit. C'était il y a un terme. Il y a un siècle. Il y a un an.
On ira où tu me racontes du hasard. Et on s'aimera.
Is all. before the sun came up. A little coffee in the paper cutter. We scared away the crows and took off our clothes and ran into the surf to lift the curse.
Pedro show. Started that chunk of music with Diesel Cleaning. In parentheses, Alex Spiegelman. Make It Last. Chicho Libre after that. Another Brooklyn cat. Jason Lafarge from Bassman. What's his studio? Caesar's Palace.
That's a great
Martin
studio.
BC.
I love
Martin
that.
BC. Yeah, yeah. And with Indian Summer. Heinbach after that. Duvall. Anna Ega. Heard a little.
Eggy.
Sorry.
Eggy. No worries. I don't know
mispronounced. How you... Yeah, you gave me 12 instead of 11.
Excuse me.
That's okay. I wasn't going to scissor it. Morgan Dell after that, Beneath the Black Purple. Lewis Cole on This Night. And finally, The Curse, Taylor Ashton. Now you see these aren't Alex Spiegelman. These are other...
Yeah, I got something to do with those.
Yeah, you provided.
I provided. Right. I wrote that tune with Anna and put it on my record too, and produced the record that track's on. And I produced Taylor's record and play some stuff on it.
And third one, Diesel Cleaning.
With the most wonderful bass player, Andrew DeMola, my long time musical partner up in Boston.
Okay. So you guys had a band back then?
Oh, we've constantly had a band or not had a band. We've just been making music together, his music and my music and no music in particular for like 15 years.
Ah, great. There's no greater gift another music cat can do for another music cat.
Yeah, Yeah, those long relationships always seem so fruitful.
Right. Now, you said something when we first started rapping about getting into the guitar in your 20s.
Yeah, yeah. I had to get, I think the thing that really did it was I had to get a bunch of wisdom teeth out. And I was, I was like out of school and teaching a bunch of lessons and playing weddings and whatever, but I couldn't play winds for like a month. So I got over the hump where guitar became fun. Like when you're playing an instrument you can't play, but you know music, it's just kind of frustrating for a while. But then you get to a point where you can do a few things, and then it becomes fun. And so, like, 4 weeks of not being able to blow anything got me over the hump.
Now, I'm thinking of composition tools. Did the guitar become a composition tool, not just...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You could sing with it. And also, like, the worse I know an instrument, the easier it is to write something.
Kind of exotic feel.
Yeah, or just like, I was pretty good at clarinet and saxophone, and I just wanted to improvise, and I'd play something, and I'd never want to play it the same way again. But guitar, if I was going to play anything that sounded halfway decent, I had to work it out. Like, it took me a long time to figure it out and to repeat it, and so that was kind of more the mindset of writing. I always write on, like, piano or guitar, instruments that I'm not quite as comfortable with to this day.
I think most composers use guitar and piano.
They're great. They
I was reading about
Charlie
Mingus. Like, Charlie Mingus never wrote songs on the bass.
I don't know how you would, you know? I mean,
come on, Alec. I write all, well, I don't write all, but I write about 90% of my shit on the bass.
Well, that's very impressive. I would have thought you were too good at bass. And you couldn't write on bass, but, you know.
Actually, writing on bass leaves more room for your collaborators.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I found about it. Because, you know, you got all the rhythm content and shit, but harmonic-wise, you're leaving things free.
Maybe.
People like Nels Klein love it. Other people are like, fuck, why didn't you write the song on the goddamn kick drum? Or write on the fucking cymbals?
Right. Maybe that's a lesson I still got to learn. I mean, I know I do. Just leaving more space for other people.
Look, we're at the end of the second hour, May 28, 2021, this WAP Pedro Show. Special guest, Alex Spiegelman. Hold tight for hour three. May 28, 2021. It's the third hour, WAP for Pedro Show.
When you're moving myself ever getting older in Brooklyn. And then you touch me on the shoulder when nobody's
so many ways. Even when you steal my stage, or when you steal my stage, and you don't even want to go out in that place. Give me better brothers, please. Oh, give me better brothers, please. Oh, is it feeding time? It's been an age since I last ate. Them big brown eyes, they see me. Oh, baby. Anytime's the time I don't grab. Oh, rap the dog, oh, rap the dog.
Show. Start off the third hour with Gracefully from Cuddle Magic, then Tim Whole House with Rab Song, Kiwi Jr., Toronto, but originally from Maritime, Maid Marian's Toast. Like, who would write a song like that? They're great cats. They were on last month or so. Cuddle Magic with Phyllis Chen, I guess, augmented version.
Yeah.
Baby girl. So let's hear about the Cuddle. You hinted at Cuddle Magic. I think Cuddle Magic was a big deal in your music journey, right?
It still is. It still is. We're still making music. We put out a record during the plague, and we're going to work on another one in September. So it still happens. Everyone kind of goes off and does their own thing, and then we get together.
What was the first Cuddle Magic gig like?
I think we were playing, I think the first one that I remember was this violin shop close to where we all went to music school in Boston, and they would have shows. And so that band back then and still sometimes now plays super quiet, you know, and just like in a tiny little space, quiet instruments. There might not have been microphones on the singers at that show. We were probably playing for like 12 people. There were probably 12 people in the band, too.
We call those character builders.
Yeah, it's a lot of character builders in my
band. Yeah, but you know what? If you can't do those gigs, you don't deserve the other ones.
Oh, man. I think there's character builders to come, you know?
Yeah, Hank Rollins has a great spiel on all that. You know, like, motherfucker, if you can't work a character builder, get out.
Yeah.
Cut rope. So, but in a way, it was success. Yeah. I mean, they didn't throw shit.
No one threw anything, but it was a gentle crowd. They weren't likely to throw anything. It would have gotten thrown out of the violin shop.
Yeah. Now, do you write, you say it's an ongoing concern.
Yeah.
So what's the process as far as the composing goes?
People, for most of it, people would bring in songs. And like everything you played, like those were the two Cuddle Magic songs I gave you are songs that I wrote. And then, you know, we figure out all the parts together. But we're writing a record now in lockdown where we sent around bits and everyone's going to have a hand in writing every song. And we sent them around according to this very specific like web of directions. Like it goes to this guy first and then over here and then back. And And that's been fun, too. More sort of like structured co-writing. We'll get together and rehearse them and play them in person in September.
So the internet ain't just about spreading bullshit and lies. You can
actually, well, a lot of that, but yeah.
You can actually get a band going and actually with a direction and coming together, commiserate.
You've been doing that in the lockdown.
Well, I told you 20 years I've been doing this show. So,
well, no, but just mean making music with people remotely, you know.
Yeah, well, I did that before this kind of thing. But, yeah, it's a lifeline during this thing. Sure. Absolutely, Alec, I agree with you.
Yeah.
With Mike Baghetta, you know, how many?
He's a good person to do it with.
How many? Yeah, and I must have done over like a dozen songs with him.
Oh, that's great.
Him in Knoxville and me in Pedro. Steve Hodges over here, Signal Hill.
Mm-hmm.
But then collabing with Henry Kaiser. Yeah. The thing we got to work out, it's still trading files, so there is a little bit of delay. But when they get this latency thing working out, maybe we'll be even able to jam.
Wow, I know some people who've been working on that. I've heard of some people working on that in New York, like jazz musicians, who also have technical.
Tell me more.
Skills. There's a piano player I went to school with named Dan Tepfer, and he was doing that and doing the latency thing. I forget what program he was using, but. It seems cool. I don't know if it's going to be there for me yet. These days, I got shot too, like 2 weeks ago, so I'm just excited to be back in the same room with people and doing that.
Your first shot? Yeah, I got mine. Second one come 10 June. So that's 24 wonderful. June, right?
Yeah.
But this idea of jamming, of course, there's a thing about playing with big. Come on. I've had a practice pad for 35 years now here at the old Fort MacArthur, and there's nothing like a prac pad.
Yeah.
You know, when me and the Boomer boys, yeah, especially, you had to find drummers, right? They had them.
They had to have the space.
That's right, because they're in the rear with the gear. But George, you got a
friend
pad.
In high school had a, I remember practicing with my drummer friend in central Pennsylvania where I grew up in, one of those storage sheds? Like a storage, like you could rent a storage spot, but it was like an outdoor one, low, all single story, no heating or anything like that. Like we brought in a space heater for like the winter and just kind of kept the door open in the summer. And that was our practice.
It's not like it. Cause you know what I mean? I can't, it's like Tor, the boat, the van, it's the center. Yeah. There's certain things about music that I learned. Like prac pads and tour van, the boat. Here we're at the. I want to play. Help me with the pronunciation, Zoe.
Zoe Gigano. That's a tough last name.
Guagrano.
Gigano, like a gig.
Gigano. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Change the season.
Kitchen tiles are cold beneath my feet. I put the kettle on and watch the gasoline burn blue and gold. Opening the curtain to the world, I find, to my surprise, the sky is loose and falling to the ground. Oh, a change of season brings a change of heart. What was getting me so down, I do not know. January hides the dirty bars underneath the snow. is getting me so down, I do not know. January hides the dirty parts underneath the snow.
Riding on a bus with no. Riding on a bus. Yo.
Watch for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Zoe, help me there.
Gigano.
Yeah. You're going to find out in 2 days how to really say it.
Yeah, she's going to be like, no, it's more subtle than she, you know.
She's Joano.
Yeah.
Joano, yeah, or something. Yeah, I went to school with the guy, Vito Gioiello.
That's a great name, yeah. Very
here
Italian.
Pedro. Well, a lot of Ischia cats came here, right? It's by Napoli Island. Fishermen. Pescadores. Okay, and then here's the title here. This is from Model Home and Pure Rave Collaboration. A collaborative experiment in liberated sound, vision, and performance. Yes. Model Home, great band out of D.C. A cat from Buffalo moved there. Rapper Nappy. Great. Rubber O Cement. This is from up north, the Bay Area. Tetraphenyl Porphin Aftermath. Axis Grooming of Robot Rising. Yeah, he's a trip. He, you know, this cat is from Carolina. I mean, they'd always be changing the name, and it's, very experimental. And then finally, Baby State, Seven Sister. So what's coming up right now? Where can people find you on the internet, Al?
Oh, well, I was lucky. I got alecspiegelman.com.
Okay, spell it.
alecspiegelman.
.com. People, go there to learn and listen and hear. And what's your next plan?
I think I got a show that's going to be announced in Brooklyn on July 24th, but it hasn't been announced yet. At a little place called Green Lung Studios. The shows are happening again.
And you're going to be what? In a ensemble or man alone?
I'm just going to be by myself playing guitar. There's another wonderful musician named Julia Easterlin, and she's going to do a set, and I think we'll do some stuff together.
Okay. So, God, not only did you learn the guitar, you learned how to play it at gigs by yourself.
I get by. Okay. You know.
You never do that with the horn, right?
Yeah, the people who do, it's kind of amazing, the people who just play a horn solo. And
yeah, I saw Archie Shepp like that.
He
was singing into the bell of the fucking horn.
Some all that
blues stuff.
Yeah, Roscoe Mitchell or like Steve Lacy, the people who just, you know.
Roland Kirk.
Oh, Roland Kirk's a big hero. Yeah.
We free kings.
I mean, I guess he's kind of cheating because he's not just playing solo horn. He's playing trio horn.
As much as he can get in his mouth.
Yeah.
Look, you get your next stuff, your next Cuddle Magic recorded. Will you please come on the show and talk? We'll play it and talk about it.
I would be so honored to do that. I'll send you whatever.
Beautiful. Like Orson Welles said, no wine before it's time.
No, always, yeah.
People, it's been May 28, 2021 edition of Watt Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry!